You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 4, Episode 18, Where the Wild Things Are. While Adam is recruiting an army of vampires and demons, Riley and Buffy's passionate lovemaking unleashes a group of poltergeists inside a frat house.
Of course.
Stephanie?
I'm Kimberly.
Gabby's not here.
She's Gabby.
I'm Illyrio, and we have with us today...
Hi, I'm Kim.
Yay.
Kim Butler.
I'm back.
So, as per usual, when we have two Kims on the show, our Kim, the K in Gax, will be Kimberly.
Sure.
And Kim Butler will be Kim.
Great.
Awesome. Is this acceptable? Sorry, I watched Children of Earth last week. If you don't know what you're listening to, this is Potential Cast, the original intro cast. We are watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer week by week until Angel came along, and now it's every other week by every other week, and we comment about it. I, Gabby, and Kimberly are spoiler-free. We've never watched this before. Stephanie has been through it before, and we have guests, including Kim. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
It's been a while.
Who has her own Buffy podcast?
Yes.
I do.
Tell us all about it.
I have a podcast called Upside Down, Halfway to Happy Land. Everyone should go and listen. We're on hiatus right now, but that's okay. We'll be back soon. While we switch servers. Yay.
That's always fun.
I know, right? Yes. So it's been crazy good fun, though, and... I love the show Buffy. I have been a fan for a very long time and pretty opinionated, I would say.
Hmm. Well, can you tell us, if it's not too spoilery, what the latest episode of Upside Down and Halfway to Happy Land's about?
Good question. Let me double check, because now I can't remember. Yeah, well, so, and what I do is I cover, in Happy Land, I cover all sorts of topics. I cover things like, for example, not the latest, but the one before that, we called it The Bronze, and we just talked about music.
Oh!
And so we talked about all the different kinds of music that are in the Buffyverse. And so the other thing I have is I have guests on, and they are usually listeners and fans, and they share their How I Got Into Buffy story. And some of those have been really moving. And then, we'll look at, like, I have one on Anne, or you guys know her also as Chanterelle, or Lily. So, like, I did a whole episode on her.
Oh, wow.
And so it can be a bunch of different topics, and I'll cover different characters or different episodes, and I let the guests pick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tons of fun. And I have had you guys on, which is really, was a ton of fun. Yes. And yeah, would love to have you guys on again, but yeah, I just had, and that one was tricky because I had to edit my opening so that you guys could even listen. So
we appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. But so needless to say, my podcast is super duper spoilery, like very spoilery. Don't even go to the website.
Okay.
So.
And you've been going for how many years? Years.
Oh my gosh. I've been at this for like 6 years now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Longevity. Yeah.
Yes, and it was super exciting because at Comic-Con, I got to dance with Joss Whedon.
Yay!
Wow, that's wonderful.
So that was my thing.
Was he wearing Hulk hands? So I think now he should just wear Hulk hands everywhere he goes.
He was not. He was just dancing. And you know, like, when I say with, like, we were, like, right next to him, but it wasn't, like, one of those, like, we weren't waltzing.
You couldn't carry on a conversation with him.
Actually, we could have. I mean, like, but it would have been weird. I didn't want to be that guy.
Is he a good dancer?
Yeah, he's a really good dancer.
Sweet. Well, I think it was a couple years ago, Robin Burge, friend of the show, got to dance with Joss Whedon as well.
Awesome. Yeah. So it's a
friend of the show.
Well, what? I'm going to say frenemy of the show? Robin Burge,
that one guy.
Who lurks at us.
I think everybody knows who Robin is.
It's true. Well, that's,
that is his golden life, isn't it?
Heard Robin. Right.
It's hilarious.
I love
this
you,
was at the sing-along?
No, we were at the, we were special. Me and my friend Tabitha, we were in the Geek and Sundry party. Because Felicia Day invited us, which was super stiffy.
Was Tom Merritt there?
Who does he play?
Doesn't he do some Geek and Sundry stuff, Sword and Laser?
He might have been.
He's on
I don't
Twit,
know.
And I keep waiting for Leo Laporte to drop dead so Tom Merritt can take over. I'm not so editing that out, Laporte. You suck. You're like an old man who's out of touch with technology. They call you the tech guy. Just, it's time for the ice flow, my friend, and I will gladly push you off.
So Geek and Sundry, did this come from Twit, or where did this come from?
It's Felicia Day, Will Wheaton, and some other people, right?
Yeah, what happened is YouTube gave Felicia Day like $100,000 and said, make your own channel. Go.
I would have said, later, suckers!
This is like an internet site.
It's, yeah, and it's through YouTube. Like, it's a whole bunch of different YouTube.
Yeah, I think they're calling it a YouTube channel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a YouTube channel. And they, and it's where, and they put the guild up there. Mm-hmm. And in fact, their latest, thing, well, not their latest, but one of their things that they released recent after Comic-Con was written by a kid, and it stars Joss.
Yeah, I remember seeing one of those a while ago as well. It's not the first one.
I will never, I ever, ever.
Yeah,
that one,
yeah.
I will never what? Call it a SWAT team ever again. It will always forever be called a SWAT team.
I know, it was hilarious. I was laughing really hard. Yeah. But yeah, Geek and Sundry, yeah, so they had their own offsite, and then they had a party that was supposed to be open to everyone, but then but then they realized that everyone meant everyone at Comic-Con.
Everyone.
So they sort of limited it.
Good luck with that.
And so we were lucky enough to sort of snag invites, and it was crazy because it was like everyone who was on the guild was there. I was like, you know, inches away from Grant Imahara.
Oh, Grant.
I know, right?
Grant
it was
is
it
awesome.
Was very. Yeah, I just smiled at him. I'm like, I have no idea what to say to him, so I'm just gonna smile. So, you know, like it was very cool. It was a really fun event, and I'm super lucky to have gone. But that was it.
Yeah.
That was my exciting thing.
Fantastic.
Well, all right. Let's speaking of great music. This episode has great music.
It does. You know what's funny? This episode also has the same music they have in the video game. The one of the, like, the PS2 video game. And so every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, I should go play that game.
That game gave me nightmares.
Kind of creepy, yeah.
So where do we want to start?
I think we want to start with, really?
Yeah. Can I just throw it out there that I reinforced from the latest episode, I am not a fan of Anya. I friggin' hate her. Mm-hmm. She's just, I cannot stand her.
I know.
And,
nobody's perfect, Kim.
That's all.
It's okay. You're allowed.
Okay. That's all.
But the good thing, the good thing about this episode is it was Buffy light.
It was Buffy light. That was one of my notes. Extra point. Less Buffy.
I mean, I feel like Xander has had no screen time in this season, hardly. Mm-hmm. He gets one quick little funny line here and there, but I was glad to see Buffy take a back seat to Xander and Anya.
Oh, she took the back seat, all right.
Oh God.
Yeah. That's right, folks. Snarky comments. You're welcome.
This episode, I think, had everything that I hate about teen dramas. A bunch of literally horny teenagers. And then the big overlying message of, like, sex is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. And then everyone coming together going, no, you're wrong. So I just really did not enjoy this episode. I hated it with a passion.
Oh, yeah. Well, the point is that we shouldn't be ashamed of our natural feelings.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. We got one really great moment out of this, and that was Willow putting her hand on Tara's leg. I'm like, yay, progress.
Yeah.
And then Tara saying, no, that's dirty.
Disgusting.
And then Tara freaking out.
Spike for me was a highlight in this one, though, I must say.
Yeah.
His attitude was fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love when he talks himself out of helping.
We got Gabby's email.
Yay. Well, let's go ahead and do that first, you know, because, you know.
Okay.
Kim, in your best Debbie voice.
Right, let me log on.
Early.
I figured it out.
All right, let's see, here we go. Gabby, where the wild things are. Okay, what in the name of all that is holy is the deal with this episode? What a jumbled up mess. So Buffy has a magical vajayjay? Got it. Whatever. I have nothing but groans and sighs to share with all of you. Sorry. Therefore, I give it 2 out of 10 special orgasm walls.
What's so special? Doesn't everybody here have an orgasm wall?
No, I need to get one.
I was speaking metaphorically. Sorry.
Oh, it was just, I don't know. That episode was just, ugh.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Debbie and Gabby, for your thoughts. I think that this episode was really disjointed. The idea that everybody got oversexed,
mm-hmm.
and that stemmed from the fact that it was a kid's home, was really off-putting.
Well, yeah. And they weren't really ghosts. Like, they didn't die there.
No.
Uh-uh. Right. I love how they, like, hit you over the head with the sex, too. Like, from the very beginning. Like, even in the ice cream truck, it's like, okay, everything's about sex now.
Yeah.
Let's just keep walloping you with that. And, like, Buffy and Riley, like, oh.
This is my problem. It took me to watching it this time through, which is about the third or fourth or fifth time through. What irks me about it is, okay, Buffy and Riley having sex constantly, and then the children in the home. It's the sex and then children being in the story, too, that is very unsettling.
Like this, yeah. This wouldn't even pass the writer's room in Criminal Minds. And, you know, outlandish.
Right. Well, I mean, and it was such a poor resolution because they weren't, you know, like the kids weren't killed. Oh, they're still alive? Like, oh, okay.
That was the weirdest. Oh. Like, what? What? So let's make this dirty and sexual and misplaced because it's based off of children's experiences, but then let's sanitize it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was so weird. It was just weird. Super, super weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like the whole ice cream truck thing either. I just thought it was so... how do I say this without... Well, forget it. I thought it was very bad writing because I think they're making Anya out to be so completely stupid. And every time she spoke in this episode, well, towards the end, not so much, but... Her about everything she says about, you're not interested in me because we didn't have sex.
Yeah, they got no fight because they didn't have sex.
And it was just like, really? This is what you want to tell teenagers that are watching your show? Right. Like,
if anyone's looking at Buffy for moral guidance, they need to look elsewhere.
Well, yeah. What are 12 and 13-year-olds going to do? They think that Buffy's the greatest thing ever. And they see a bunch of people just humping all over the place. It's just not. It's not nice.
Yeah.
It's very sloppy. And then for them to have that sex talk and then, oh, let's just have the look of all the kids and the parents like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, it's just like, get out of here.
I mean, it could have been cool. Drowning kid in the tub was cool.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, you know, I was just being baptized, but, you know, I guess he wasn't being drowned. And the girl cutting her hair off. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't
Disturbing.
Know. Yeah, but, you know, cool and intriguing, and it had me interested, but spin the bottle?
Who in college plays spin the bottle? I don't think that happens.
Well, no one at my university played spin the bottle. And the orgasm wall. Had they done it once, I could get it. But, hey, man, come over here, put your hand on the wall. And then we see people with their hands on the wall later. And then it turns into a jungle. The house grows vines.
Yeah.
And then they find the old lady, and she's just the most awful crotchety old lady stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
She's a crazy religious person. Oh, no, I've never seen one of those on television before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I was thoroughly disappointed in this.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to be sorry.
No. I don't think anybody's going to...
I like Xander and Anya stuff like I usually do. I thought the little thing in the ice cream truck was a little weird. Again, mixing sex with kids. Listen, I'm no prude. And I'm going to protect my kids from violence a whole hell of a lot more than I'll ever protect them from sex. Because, you know, sex is natural. And as long as you're both consenting people above the age of whatever the legal age of consent is where you are jurisdictionally, it's fine. And I'd much rather my kids see penises and breasts and vajayjays and all that stuff than someone holding a gun. And I've never scolded my child for playing with himself, and I've always been very angry when he pretends that his hand is a gun. That's my personal philosophy. I think that this whole mixing the whole children thing with the sex thing was...
Yes.
It doesn't bother me because of those kinds of things that I don't actually ascribe to. It bothers me because it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't actually make storyline sense for them to all be sex crazed. I mean, okay, let's analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad I pronounced that properly, by the way. So, we're going to see that, okay, the house is upset because the spirit of a woman who's not dead yet, who was a prude and overreacted when anyone was ever even slightly hypersexualized under her care, the house has this thing attached to it. So when Riley and Buffy get, you know, really kind of horny, the house kind of freaks out. How does it freak out?
And why did it start now?
Right, exactly. Like, there's all those demons in there.
I know.
That didn't set it off? I mean, not that they're necessarily doing anything sexual, but still, that's got to be weird.
Why would the house react sexually, though? That's what I don't understand. The house would react more with having people hate their sexuality, right?
Well, they do, though. They do,
but
try
it's not
to
consistent
that.
Because the orgasm wall gets in the way and everybody gets overly horny.
I guess parts of it were, and parts of it were a shame because that's where all the different... spirits
right.
were?
I guess.
Because, like,
so.
The girl that kisses Xander, then she freaks out and starts cutting off her hair.
Yes. Hatchet job!
And, like, Tara gets all mad at Willow.
Which was just heartbreaking.
She recoils.
Heartbreaking. I felt so bad for Willow right there.
But, yeah, the whole thing. I mean, it's just very poorly done.
Yeah.
Who wrote this piece of shit episode?
Yeah, who wrote it?
Somebody who doesn't write, who, like, I don't think ever writes anything ever again.
Was it Good. Tracy Forbes?
Tracy Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Forbes. I want part of my Netflix subscription back. And I hope that whatever library you're working at now doesn't have a pension plan.
Oh, it was, yeah.
I was really nervous you guys were going to be like, I love this episode. I was like, oh, that's going to be horrible.
I mean, there were parts in there I really enjoyed, like Spike reacting to stuff getting really crazy with, oh, now this party's getting started, right? But it's just kind of like little inserts and tokens.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Spike and Anya interaction is pretty fun.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I'm sure Kim hated it.
No, Kimberly, I love Spike and Anya together.
Okay, good.
You I just, thought they were...
in general, don't like my Anya. I mean, Anya.
No, I don't like her when she gets
being stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Because they think, oh, let's have her say something so wacky because it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah, wait till next time when we talk about the next episode and I am going off on my rant about women acting stupid. The idea of this episode was a bad one. The execution was poor. But let us all momentarily put our hate on the hate shelf and talk about the moment in this episode.
What is the moment?
Giles singing.
All right.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, so this is why people were mad at you, Illyrio.
Because I played the song too early?
Yes.
Why were people mad?
Well, people were just sort of like, oh, man, he's going to be bummed out that he missed the chance to play it later.
I don't like playing songs at the end of the episodes that are actually on the show. I think we made an exception for prom, where I had a music bed of songs that were on there. And right now, the perfect song is almost finished downloading for the end of this episode.
I love Giles singing.
It's not Giles singing, don't worry. But I thought that was...
The idea of him singing.
Yeah, sorry. It was awesome!
I loved how all the girls were like, whoa.
Yeah, I know. And then at the end we get this kind of, maybe Gillow wasn't just a joke. Ha ha ha. Awesome. Yay, that ding means that my song is downloaded. So, yeah, I was not a fan of this episode, and I was really, the title had me totally hooked, you know? Uh-huh. Oh, are we going to see what Adam's doing, and, you know, is he gathering up the wild things, and really?
You got more Adam in the last episode.
Well, let me read, let's see, BJ Anderson's email. Dear Gex and or special guests, spoilers ahead for Where the Wild Things Are. Okay, I promise I won't write for a few episodes, but this episode has a few memories for me, so I couldn't resist writing in. I got the privilege of seeing one episode in the first run, which we'll write about later, as both the podcast and Buffy hit the home stretch in about 3 or 4 years. So almost 4 years ago, I was starting my college adventure with a random roommate who only had a few positive attributes, one of which was the fact that she had every episode of Buffy on DVD. Unfortunately, at first, she only had seasons 4 through 7, so season 4 was sentimentally my favorite season since I got to be a freshman alongside Buffy and Willow. This reason why this episode reminds me of that year is because this episode was my roommate's favorite episode of all time.
Oh, God.
Wow, that's a
Your
first.
Roommate's dumb.
Sorry.
After watching it, I couldn't believe it. To me, it is such a craptastic episode that it almost feels like the worst kind of very special episode.
Yeah.
The moral is kind of like the Pringles motto, which is once you start doing it, you can't stop.
Wait, what are you guys talking about? Oh, never mind. Carry on.
I was going to stick with the original, but then it would have been too perverted even for this episode. I personally feel like my roommate just liked it for the sexy times, which makes me think that someone will get some awesome roughy screenshots and then send it Illyrio's wife for the cover art of this particular
No, castles. Thank you.
Despite the horribleness that is in the middle of it, there are some spots of hope, such as Anya and Spike talking in the bronze, veteran and recently deceased TV character actress Catherine Justin putting in a solid bit of guesswork, Giles singing, and the awkward exchange between Riley and Buffy at the end of the episode. I wonder if Mrs. Holt had a relative named Steve.
Steve Holt!
Thank you, BJ.
Thanks, BJ. Yeah, I don't know about custom art for this episode. We'll see. We'll see. I'd like to read the email from Heidi.
Okay.
But I'd first like to congratulate Heidi for her competitive win.
She's awesome.
And she's awesome. Heidi, we love you, and we're very proud of you. I think you're great, and I think what you've done over the last few years should be commended. And anyone struggling with anything related to what I had to struggle with and what Heidi had to struggle with just specifically, and I hope you don't mind me saying, Heidi, wait. Heidi is fantastic. Good for you, Heidi.
Hells yeah.
Hey, Gaxon guest. That's you, Kim.
Hey.
Love you, Heidi.
I'm sorry I had to sit through this episode. Really, yeah. I am. There are a couple good moments in this episode. Giles singing is just great. My favorite, though, is Spike being all gung-ho about helping Buffy and Riley, then realizing he doesn't care and leaving. There's also just some bad continuity, since when is it so strange for a demon and a vampire to be working together? We've never seen this crazy animosity that Buffy talks about before. They totally made that up to serve a plotline, and a stupid plotline is that. Demons and vampires drink together at Willy's all the time! Speaking of Willy, I saw him on an episode of Criminal Minds. All right. Anyway, the real badness comes from all the Buffy and Riley sex. Emphasis mine. It's just bad. Also, the whole ghost thing doesn't even make sense. Those children didn't die there. Anyway, this episode is my least favorite of the entire series. Wow, entire series. Not saying it's a worse worse episode than iRobot Eugene. I like that episode. Silence. But I enjoy watching it less. Maybe you enjoyed it more than me. Smiley face. Oh, noseless smiley face. Heidi. Thank you, Heidi.
Yay.
Is it Facebook time?
Why not?
Sure.
Before we get to Facebook, I would like to play an audio comment from friend of the show, Paul Mackey. Doing the stalling thing. And here we are.
This audio file discusses the episode Where the Wild Things Are. So if you haven't yet watched this fascinating... whatever. Many fans like to beat up Beer Bad as the worst episode ever. Even Josh Eden himself can sometimes be found referring to it in a self-deprecating manner like Kevin Smith did for many years with Mallrats. But I and many others know the real stink emanates from Where the Wild Things Are. Sure, you get the golden nugget of Giles singing, but it is a nugget you find in the midst of the rest of this turd. Hey, Illyrio, does French really taste better in your mouth?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that question would have been better asked by a sensual woman's voice. Anyways, from the curious patch of wall to the return of the Zandouche to the great big Riley Buffy banging battery, it's full of stuff that hardly warrants more discussion. But I look forward, as always, to your perspectives. And hey, if so many fan discussions center around whether Beer Bad or Where the Wild Things are the worst, along with iRobot Eugene, then things are bound to be looking up.
Thank you, Paul.
Amazing.
Yay, Paul.
It's Facebook time.
Okay. Carol Swift says that she's not a Riley hater, but she thinks that he serves his function and was never
meant.
That's
what Buffy thinks too.
Was never meant to be beloved by fans. Hmm. He was a big, handsome jock frat boy on a show geared to appealing to people who felt like they were outsiders. Not going to be a fan favorite. That's true. Not many buff frat guys probably.
But he was super charming when he was introduced. They just changed him a lot in the season.
I don't think I never found him charming.
When he was with the books and Willow, it was very cute.
Oh, that,
I thought he was going to hook up with Willow.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because at first he didn't notice Buffy at all. Remember, it was when Professor Walsh noticed Buffy, and then he was like, I'm in love with her now.
Right.
He was under the influence of mind control drugs. Anyone? Anyone?
Mm-hmm. Cricket.
Okay, so Carol says, even so, in this episode on rewatch, I prefer to fast forward through all the Buffy Riley scenes and would love for the entire episode to be about Spike and Anya instead. Spike and Anya dealing with each other is that one element that makes me keep from skipping it altogether. Oh, and Giles singing, of course. It's definitely in my top 10 least favorite Buffy episodes. 2 out of 10 obvious oblivious initiative party goers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd just like to say I rewatched the episode today, and I forced myself to watch the Buffy Riley sex scenes again because I want to know suffering like this world knows suffering. Maybe perhaps it helps me atone for my first world problems.
First world problems. That's hilarious.
Teofilo Roque Rivas, the things I remember from this episode are the drawer within the condom galore. With the condoms galore.
Oh, I think they threw that in because they're like, oh, we gotta show that we're responsible.
The orgasms wall, way to get your party started. The Britney Spears foreshadowing, bald girl. Giles singing on a guitar. I wasn't standing on the guitar. The crazy old lady before Wisteria Lane, rest in peace. And the gardening problem. I always think about this episode as the give all the sex Buffy couldn't have with Angel, so good for her.
Yeah.
Her F's became N's because she was having sex like a bunny. I'll give this episode 3 out of 10 fallen red curls.
Aww.
Bob DeGrand says, I'm a Riley hater, so I don't like this episode nearly as much as Carol. One saving grace is Giles singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait for this episode to end. I started watching it, and then I got so distracted that I was like, oh, shoot, I got to go back and I have to rewind that scene because I have to know what we're going to be talking about tonight because it was a struggle. It really was.
Yeah, I was taking notes. And I got about halfway through, and my note says,
why bother?
Yeah, and I give up.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend Emma today. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can watch this episode again. She was like, just fast forward through and watch the Spike and Anya parts.
I want to know if there's anyone that actually likes this episode that will defend it.
Not that I know of.
Probably Damon Lindelof. Let's move on. Ina says that the three things that make her not skip necessarily, or the three things that get her through a rewatch, are Xander and Anya arguing the ice cream truck while a bunch of customers look in, Spike and Anya's scenes, and of course Giles singing. Look on everyone's faces are hilarious, and it's Catherine Justed as the crazy old lady. Rest in peace.
Danny Robertson says, I want to know just who in the writer's room said, hey, what if we had an episode where Buffy and Riley can't stop having sex?
Who said yes?
Taylor Dole, wait, Buffy and Riley are in this episode? I don't remember that. Maybe I've blocked them from my memory, but Giles, I remember Giles.
Yeah, Justificationer said, this episode made me question my own sexuality. I've never been so turned off by Buffy and so turned on by Giles.
Justified.
That is amazing.
He continues, oh, and this episode sucks. Right there with the Whedonverse classics such as iRobot Eugene, I disagree, and She. I'm pretty sure the old lady gets off scot-free. The ghost would actually get destroyed, and Riley's dorm still has a poltergeist at the end of the episode. That being said, I'm digging the Spania action here. Susan says, it's all about that brief Giles moment. I'd love to have a recording of Tony Head singing that song.
Yes.
With the internet, I'm sure we have, don't we?
Well, I have that part ripped from the episode.
Oh, but we don't have the whole song?
I don't think so.
Josh Eden, you betray your fans. Put it out. Do it. Hey, Bratters. Buffley or Riffy? There is no ring to those names and shows that there is no chemistry between these two characters on screen. Let alone during any sex scenes. When I see this episode, I give the same look that Riley gave during a sex scene with Buffy in the episode I and Team. Although there is one saving grace for this episode. I love that Spike loves the Asian house. P.S. The old lady creeps me out.
Karen Prosser Saxon says that she really doesn't mind this episode that much. Spike's almost helping outside the house, and the scene with Giles singing are my two favorites. The rest of the episode I can tolerate, although the end does drag a bit.
We have people talking about me playing the song too early in our podcast.
So, yeah, nobody really defending it.
Megan Provo says, I hate this episode. It's the worst. The writers must have known this, so they threw us a bone with Giles singing. Buffy and Riley and Bed are so cringeworthy and asexual. Yuck.
And I know you guys probably already addressed this, but when I first started playing it today, I was like, oh, and Buffy's hair. Oh, and those pants. I was like, it just starts out badly. Like, she's wearing those horrible snakeskin things.
Yep. Leather pants.
Oh, I was just like, wow, this is such a terrible episode.
Someone named Gabrielle says, Gillo! we really need to kick that person off the group. Thanks for your feedback, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Paul. That rhymes, as my six-year-old would say. We, I think, should probably rate this.
Okay.
1 out of 10. It doesn't even need a rating system. That's my feeling. Mm. Is that wrong?
No. Listen, you are entitled to your own opinion. And if Robin were here, he would conclude with, even if it's wrong. I'm going to give this episode 3 out of 10 vines through the hand that are never mentioned later. And mainly because this was a giant turd of shit episode. And I'd like Giles singing, and I really enjoyed Willow's reaction. And I thought Willow coming on to Tara was a nice moment there.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that was a bit harsh, because I did like Giles singing.
Yeah, I give 1 point for funny Anya, I give 1 point for sexy Giles, and I give 1 point for little less Buffy, a lot more Xander in this episode. So I give it 3 out of 10 big bursting poltergasms.
I miss Xander. You're so right, Stephanie. There has not been enough Xander this season.
He wore a paper hat in this episode. There's nothing better than paper hats.
I wonder if they made a decision to tone him down.
I don't know. I just assumed that it was because they were at college and so much focus was on college and he wasn't a student.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there was. It's a weird dynamic this season.
Yeah, because the Scoobies are kind of splintered.
This is a different season.
It's a transition.
It is a transition. I did a whole episode on season 4. Yeah, I think I am with Kim. I am going to give it 1 out of 10.
The Kims agree.
It is my least favorite episode in the entire series by a lot.
Okay, good. I was worried going to discuss this with you guys, because I was like, if anybody likes this, it's going to be a pretty strange episode for all of us to discuss.
Oh, yeah. This was terrible.
If this were the first episode of Buffy I ever watched, I would never watch again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we thought. You can send us...
I'm sorry. Duh.
Sorry. Oh, Gabby, hold on.
Oh, were you waiting to...
I've got to do Gabby's. Hold on.
Oh, sorry. Of course.
Oh, right.
I thought you'd read it earlier for some reason. I apologize.
Stilling. Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah, she did. 2 out of 10 special orgasm walls.
Nice. You can call us 270-40-BUFFY and console us after having watched this. You can send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at potentialcast. Potentialcast.com is our website, where you can find not only show notes and direct download links, You can also find our previous first three seasons. You can click on those links on the right, and you can either download shows manually or subscribe to those feeds in iTunes, and you should be able to access all the episodes in those feeds. And the Facebook group is really where it's at. We have broken the 300 barrier!
Woohoo! Wow.
This is Potential Cast! I stole that from someone on the group. I apologize for not writing down your name. But hey, if I'm going to plagiarize you, what does it matter who you are? I didn't mean that the way it sounded. Unless you thought it sounded really clever. You have to join that group. You have to ask to join, and we will let you in upon you accepting the condition that it is kept spoiler-free. Because if you want to do spoilery stuff and discuss the podcast and Buffy and Angel, and you have watched all of Angel and Buffy, you should join the potential spoilers group. And I think that would be rad. Is it quote time?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll go first if you guys don't mind.
Okay.
My friend Xander says, "Yeah? You smell sin? Well, let me tell you something, lady. She who smelt it, dealt it."
You totally stole my quote.
Sorry. Classic Xander, man. Classic Xander. One and only. We've been doing this for over 2 years.
I told you, I just was not paying attention for half the episode, and I did not take notes. And then when I did, I was like, Xander, zing. Good one.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Well, I think, because Anya is so funny in this episode, I think. Well, then I'll be staying too, to show you how much I'm not bothered by you having fun, because I'll be having more fun. I'm having fun already. Me too. Woohoo.
Her woohoo was awesome.
That was good. I all the quotes I found for this one were Xander, pretty much. The one I think I want to go with this time is Anya. This is crazy. We had a little fight. It just means that we have to work our way through some stuff. It doesn't mean we rebound with the evil undead.
Poor Xander.
I like that one for so many reasons.
Yeah. And Debbie has one.
Oh, yay.
It's a Buffy quote.
Oh, wow.
Vamps hate demons. It's like stripes and polka dots. Major clashing.
Anya also said, "Spike, what are you doing? You made me yell really high."
That was so good. I forgot about that whole bit. That was a fun bit that he's like making money from scaring people. From
pretend mugging people, yeah.
I do like those too. I will say that they had a funny rapport.
Oh, yay. Kim isn't made of evil.
Just when she's not being so stupid.
Agreed, agreed, agreed. I agree with you. What's on the slate for next time, Steph?
Next week, New Moon Rising.
I wonder if this weeks. Might involve a werewolf.
Interesting.
Crazy.
Kim Butler, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. And
I apologize again for the mix-up with Superstar.
I know, I'm super sad
about
that.
Well, I don't know if you heard the show, but I am going to be sending you an official t-shirt with a new logo. You just got to hit me up with your mailing address.
All right, good.
And also your preferred size.
Right. So you were scheduled for Superstar, kind of Superstar, and you had to settle for this episode?
Well, no, I was scheduled for both, because it was when you guys were scheduling two at a time.
Oh, okay.
And then I gave up this one.
Yeah.
Because I was going to give up one of the two, it was not going to be Superstar. Right. And then I wound up with this one. So, you know, but I decided, you know, I figured hopefully everybody disliked it. And we could all.
Somebody did like it, so we could have a good debate. But right. It didn't work out that way.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry if anyone does like it, but it's really not a good episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty infamous.
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome. Well.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We hope we didn't turn you off to the podcast because of the way we reacted, but this was a real pile of shit.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Thanks again for joining us, Kim. We'll hear from Gabby sometime in the future. She's very busy in dealing with some very big milestone things, and it does not involve probation this time.
No. Yay. Jim, pack your life up and move.
Yeah, moving.
She got a cool new job.
It's going to be awesome. We're all happy for Gabby. Yay, hey. Gabby. Hey. You're awesome. Goodbye.
Hey, Debbie.
Bye.
Bye. Hey.
Gerard.
Gerard.
Thanks.
Oh.
Come inside, take off your coat, I'll make you feel at home. Now let's pour a glass of wine, cause now we're all alone.
Okay, I have to pause this. You know why this is the perfect song?
Why?
It's not because the title of the song is I Want to Sex You Up. It's because it's by Color Me Bad. And this was bad. Good night. Stop recording.
Well, somewhere my birthday is wrong, and I get things from the What is the what in the national what is it? Retired People National Association for Retired People.
AARP.
The AARP. Yeah, they send me things for scooters and hearing aids.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man, behind the wise. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be fated, telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free.